From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Emerging artist will start next hour at the half, so get ready for that. And you can go up to the coasttocoastam.com website and read all about them. Later this hour, the man who discovered Neil Diamond and Elton John and others joins us, and he has a new discovery. And you'll hear from both of them in just a moment. Next hour, scientific evidence for the paranormal, life force, the scientific basis with Claude Swanson. So get ready for that, too. It's going to be quite a night for you. Well, now, this sounds just like a movie. A stream of highly charged particles from the sun headed straight toward planet Earth, threatening to plunge cities around the world into darkness and bring the global economy screeching to a halt. This isn't the premise of the latest doomsday thriller. Massive solar storms have happened before, and another one, as we have reported, is likely to happen again. According to Mike Hapgood, a space weather scientist at the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory in England, much of the planet's electronic equipment, as well as orbiting satellites, have been built to withstand these periodic geomagnetic storms, but the world is not prepared for a truly damaging solar storm, one of those huge X-flares. And Hapgood argues in a recent commentary published in the journal Nature, we could be in big trouble. Mitch Batras, he's been saying the same thing for many, many years. Mitch, it's interesting to find another scientist joining your camp.
Well, yes, it is. I'm familiar with Mike Hapgood, and I want to make a distinction. Mike Hapgood is not Charles Hapgood. Charles Hapgood, which I've received so many emails, that's the guy who was associated with the Richard Noon 2005 thing.
Right.
So this is Mike Hapgood, not Charles Hapgood. I'm not sure who Charles Hapgood is, but Mike Hapgood's the real thing.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal, space weather scientist, currently at Rutherford in Oxford, also contracting with the European Space Agency and the Royal Astronomical Society. So I've had some correspondence with them. A little bit of sensationalism on the part of the L.A. Times. Yes, Dr. Hapgood did say these things, but he's not saying that anything is imminent this moment.
But we don't know, Mitch. It could happen at any time. You know that.
You're absolutely right. He gave in this particular interview an estimated 12% chance of something happening as devastating as the Carrington event, the 1859 event.
That's right.
Which was devastating. Just to recap very briefly, that was when the Aurora Borealis went all the way south as far as Cuba. And back then they had the telegraph machines and they had the wires. And there was a paper that the telegraph wires were so hot that they literally lit the paper on fire. That's the 1859 event. Then the 1989 event, Quebec, Canada, which is not that long ago, hit the Quebec Hydro, the Hydro-Quebec Generation Station and New Jersey, knocked out power to 6 million people. Now, that's just 1989. And so these things are very real. We don't know when it's going to happen. You're absolutely right, George. I just felt that I needed to tap it down. I kind of use a barometer of the emails I get, and I can't help but think of some kind of scared people out there. It's true we won't have much warning, that we're trying to improve our satellites, and they are getting better. We can see the far side of the sun now.
Well, that's true. And what the big part of this story, Mitch, is I think for the very first time, a mainstream other media source other than us, the LA Times, now reporting on the possibilities of these huge solar storms. Mitch's website, earthchangesmedia.com. It's part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. You can link right up to it. Did you go outside last night and see the super full moon? It was gorgeous, but no earthquake yet. Jim Berkland, geologist with us. Jim, where is the big one?
Well, we weren't necessarily calling for the big one yet, but I certainly got a strong one about 40 miles north of us, the second strongest quake at the geysers. It was a 4.5, felt all over this part of Northern California, and it was right on the day of that so-called super moon. Well, back I was on the Chicago Tribune about 20 years ago, and there was an eclipse of the moon, and we were calling for a big quake, well, sub 7 plus, and it didn't happen, and so the Tribune made a lot of farce out of it and said, oh, people saw the eclipse and then they went back to bed and
yeah.
nothing happened. Well, 6 days later, an 8.1 hit New Guinea.
So we're in a range here. It may not happen on that day, yesterday, but we're in a range.
No, there's a window.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very strange. We have gone a week now with only one quake of 6 magnitude anywhere in the world.
That's right.
We are really overdue.
Okay, Jim. Thank you. Jim Berkland, geologist, website. His website, too, part of our Twitter feed. 14 people in at least 9 states have been sickened by salmonella after handling dog food from a South Carolina plant that a few years ago produced food contaminated by toxic mold that killed dozens of dogs. At least 5 people hospitalized with this tainted dog food. University of Arizona Cancer Center member Mark Pagel, PhD, will receive a $2 million grant from the National Institutes of Health to study the effectiveness of personalized baking soda therapy to treat breast cancer. Now, as you know, Italian doctor Tullio Simonici has been using this very successfully, and this is a first that the National Institutes of Health will study this, so we'll keep our eyes on that one as well. Upheaval in France, first time in 17 years, they have voted in a socialist, President Nicolas Sarkozy. He's out. He conceded defeat. Another one in, Francois Hollande, the socialist. And let's see what happens there. It's all because of the economy. The chief of surgery of New York's Lincoln Hospital set a patient on fire during an operation, causing severe burns on the man's neck and chest. The doctor was performing a tracheotomy, inserting a breathing tube, when the electronic scalpel, which gives off tiny little sparks, came close to the patient's oxygen supply, and they had a minor explosion. Well, the patient woke up eventually. He was in horrible, horrible pain, I guess so. George Lindsay, who spent nearly 30 years as the grinning goober on the Andy Griffith Show and Hee Haw and Mayberry, RFD, has died. He was 83. Lindsay was the beanie-wearing goober on the Andy Griffith Show from 1964 to 68, and then Mayberry, RFD, and then he played the jovial character, a service station attendant on Hee Haw from 1971 until it went out of production in 1993. George Lindsay dead at the age of 83 years old. The Avengers superhero movie has smashed the record for the biggest U.S. opening, taking in $200 million. The previous best opening weekend was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That opened in July of last year with $169 million. So a lot of people still going to the movies. Up next, Russ Regan joins us with his new discovery. Wait till you hear this exclusively on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Russ Regan began his career in the early 60s as a singer, songwriter, record promoter. Russ has developed such artists as Elton John, Neil Diamond, Barry White, Olivia Newton-John, and so many others. He was also known for changing the name of the Beach Boys. Wait till he tells you what their original name was. You won't believe it. I'm glad they changed it to the Beach Boys. He was the music supervisor on a number of Academy Award-winning songs as well. And in a moment, you're going to hear his latest discovery, Josh Tatum. Welcome, Russ Regan. Russ, how are you?
I'm happy to be here, George. It's great to be here, buddy.
How did you have the ear to find the people that you have found in your career?
George, I was a very lucky guy. I was mentored by a man named Berry Gordy.
One of the best, Motown's best.
I was very fortunate in my early days to be mentored by Berry Gordy, who's not only a great songwriter, but a great song man.
Yes.
And Motown was no accident. That man knew everything. He knew songs, and he knew how to put them together with the right artist. And so I learned from him, and I'm very, very, very fortunate that I was able to be there at the right time.
Do you find, Russ, that certain talent that I really believe have star quality possess something a little differently than someone else?
Yes. It's called charisma.
Uh-huh. It is.
Yeah. They have that magic. When they walk in the room, you kind of know they're there. You know, it separates them from ordinary people.
The Beach Boys, what was their original name?
Well, their original name were the Pendletons. Yeah, yeah.
That's what they were going to call themselves.
That's what they were going to call themselves. And they did that. First record was called Surfin', so they were going to change
their name. Which was a great song.
Yeah, they were going to call themselves the Surfers. And there was already a group called the Surfers. So
okay.
I said, we can't call them that. So they said, come up with a name. I said, well, let's call them the Woodies. They didn't like that. Let's call them the Hang Tens. They didn't like that. I says, call them the Beach Boys. That's it.
They loved it.
They loved it. So, and 50 years later, George, they're still going strong.
They're coming back. They're coming back.
I talked to Bruce Johnston the other day. They're in Florida touring, you know, on their 50th anniversary.
Brian Wilson is a genius.
He is a genius. Truly a genius. Brian Wilson sang in my room a cappella to me one time. He never released a record up until after Good Vibration was the last record that I picked for the Beach Boys.
Yeah, it was. He was competitive with the Beatles, wasn't he?
You know, he got competitive with them.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the beginning, of course, but all of a sudden they got very competitive. But Brian is a true genius, without a doubt.
Well, you know, when he started writing those songs with all the harmony people had never heard music like that before.
No, you know, he loved the Four Freshmen. Those harmonies were the Four Freshmen harmonies. And Brian just took them, man.
What did you see that was so magical about Elton John, whom I think the world of? He's great.
Elton is probably one of the greatest piano players as well as one of the greatest singers, too, you know.
Yeah.
He's a great musician. And he and Bernie Taupin had that magic together. Bernie would send him the lyrics, and Elton would put the music to him, and all of a sudden you got Your Song, you know, or Take Me to the Pilot.
Sure.
And, you Burn Down the Mission and all these great songs, you know. And he's just, look, he's won an Academy Award. He's won a Tony. And you know what's great about Elton? He's given back. He's really has. He's a philanthropist.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
Elton John AIDS Foundation has given away millions to, for AIDS. And I have the greatest respect for all the artists that I've ever been fortunate enough to find and groom
absolutely.
And whatever, you know.
Did you tell him to wear the big glasses, or did he do that on
his
own?
No, he did that on his own.
Because I noticed Josh, whom we're going to bring in a second, looks normal. He doesn't have big glasses, or he's not wearing a funny costume. He's just Josh.
He's a wonderful young musician, singer-songwriter. You know, I love singer-songwriters. And Josh Tatum, to me, is probably the best new singer-songwriter to come along in a long time.
We're going to go to him in just a second. We're going to play his music this half hour as well.
And
you told me a story once, Rush, had how Charlie Manson came to you and wanted you to listen to his audition tape.
Yes.
And wanted you to market him,
yes.
to promote him, to push
yes.
him. And you turned him down.
I did turn him down.
What was it you didn't like about him?
I just didn't feel good about him. You know.
Was he weird? He's probably listening to us in prison right now. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
He was strange. Let's put it that way. He had a very bad childhood, you know.
He was
out there.
Was he upset when you turned him down?
No.
He was not?
No.
After the murders and he was implicated in them, did you say, oh, my God, it's the same guy?
Yeah. I recorded him 2 years before the murders even happened. They were. He was living on the Spahn Ranch with the girls and stuff. They were going to make a movie about him. That's how they brought me into it. I was at Universal, and they were thinking about making a movie about this modern-day Jesus character, if you will.
Right.
And so that's how we did that demo. We made a demo with him.
Have you ever thought, and I've got to ask you this,
yes.
that had you decided to go with him and promote him, that he might have stayed somewhat normal?
You know something? I've thought about that. I've given that a lot of thought. And I just can't think about it anymore because,
You don't want
it. It is what it is, as they say.
Well, you know what? You've got an ear for talent, and he didn't have it.
Not really. He didn't.
And that's the way it is.
Tell
me about Josh Tatum. How did you find him?
Well, actually, Kimberly White found him, a young lady from Dallas, Texas.
Sorry.
Who was living out here, and she went to a Starbucks one day and...
Because Josh is from Texas,
yes,
right?
Josh is from Midland, Texas. And she met Josh at a Starbucks, of all things, and wound up getting a CD from him. And she brought it to me, and I listened to it, and I said, wow, this guy's got something, you know? So I said, well, what can we do? And she was very, very gung-ho about him, and got me very excited about him. And then we were fortunate enough to have a gentleman by the name of James Yoder form a new company called Hideaway Entertainment. And Hideaway Entertainment signed Josh and brought me aboard, and we're making him into a star.
And here it goes.
Okay,
so Neil Diamond, Barry White, Olivia Newton-John, Elton John, so many others, so many others.
Alan Parsons Project.
What's your prediction for Josh Tatum?
I think Josh Tatum will be a superstar. It's just a matter of time. It takes just time. You know, you're building somebody. We're always ahead of the crowd, as they say, you know. And the crowd has to catch up with us.
Yeah.
So the more we airplay we get on him, the more exposure we get on him, the more people discover Josh Tatum, the bigger he's going to get. And whenever he goes out and performs, he's got the magic touch. People call me up and say, wow, he's incredible in person. He is a great performer as well as a great singer-songwriter.
And a nice guy.
And a very nice guy. One of the nicest I've ever met.
Let's bring Josh in.
Sure.
Here he is on Coast to Coast. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This has got to be exciting for you.
This is a little bit unreal, man. I mean, it's kind of been exciting since day one, to be honest. It's just getting more exciting every day.
We're going to listen to some of your clips this last half hour. What kind of music do you sing?
You know, I sing, I like to tell people I sing alternative soul pop rock, you know, because it's tough to kind of bring it into a category for me. It's been a long time. So long time I've been writing these songs. And so the record we just put out called Everything, I called it Everything because it really is kind of all encompassing. All the different types of songs that I've written over the years have kind of come together on this one.
You're 23.
Yes,
when did you start dabbling in music?
I got my first guitar in 1995 when I was in the second grade. Yeah, and that was it, man. So
have you had lessons or have you just taught yourself?
I did. You know, I was never, I never learned to read music. I never, I learned scales. I had about three different teachers in the course of a few years. And I finally got to one teacher who was just the coolest guy. His name's Rollo Smith. He's a blues guitar player in Fort Worth. And he's basically blind. He's legally blind. He's lost his vision, probably most of it. So he can barely see. And so he used to just sit there and play. I used to watch him play blues guitar. And I was just always into it. And from then on, I just kind of taught myself, you know, and that was probably when I was, I want to say 12, 13
years
old. Well,
you know, I've heard your music and you're good and everyone else is going to have an opportunity to hear you. You're grinding it out. You're going through the traditional way of success as someone like Russ Regan has so much experience in. Nowadays, a lot of people go the American Idol route. Josh and Russ, they hit it, they win. It's instant stardom for a lot of them. They get record deals. Did you contemplate at all trying out for something like American Idol?
I have never once contemplated American Idol.
How come? Why not?
And here's why. I've been asked this question so many times, especially when things were just horrible. You know, it's never been me. I've always been one. I write songs. You know, I write my own music, and I valued. When I was younger, you know, when I was very young, I always looked forward to the journey. That was kind of this thing that I was attracted to. And I hear the stories of the greats and the people that came up. I was so turned off with the fact that you can walk into and sing well, and then all of a sudden you're a superstar. It was kind of like, to me, I'd like to see what I could do. I'd like to see what I could create that people could attach to and relate to, you know?
All right, well, we're going to listen to a little clip taking us to the break, Josh, and we're going to come back with you and Russ Regan. We'll talk a little bit more. What's the name of this one?
This is called Everything I Need.
All right, here it goes.
Seasons changing, got people feeling good. Beautiful stranger, you know you got me feeling good. All these places, there's no telling what I'll see. These risky situations, they've been sneaking up on me. Oh, oh, I know I'm not the only one that's weak and all in rain. That this world can be an ugly place today. It's so beautiful to me. I saw the right things on the wrong side of the street. And I got everything, everything I need. Nighttime music.
driving nice and slow. We'll keep the music playing loud.
This is Josh again. This is Wasted.
I view. There wasn't a wall I couldn't see right through. And I could take you way up high, but you didn't want me to. And it's all the same to me, unless I'm doing it with you. So I'm wasting the day getting wasted. And I'm sorry to say, but it's true. I'm wasting away, just wasted. I'm wasting my days without you. Whisper from a mile away, and I heard the things you think but would not say.
And of course, we're with record extraordinaire Russ Regan and his latest discovery, Josh Tatum, and we're going to have both of them in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Claude Swanson joins me. We talk about a scientist's view of the paranormal. Get ready for that. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Next hour, right about an hour from now, we'll start playing our emerging artists. As you know, we do this on the first Sunday of every month. What we do with that, Russ and Josh, is we give people who are emerging artists who don't have an opportunity to play their goods anywhere, we let them send in their CDs, and then producer Tommy, whom you both met, he sorts through the hundreds of thousands that come in. And he picks seven of them, and the first Sunday of every month, we run that. And Josh, let me ask you, for an artist like the emerging artists who, you know, maybe they're playing in bands in the cities they live in, and they're trying to scrap out a living and do their thing, that's got to be pretty important to them to be able to hear this on the radio for themselves.
Huh? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a great thing you guys do. I mean, anybody that's out there making music, everybody deserves a chance.
And they're good.
Yeah, and the people that are working hard out there, yeah. that you know, it's really tough to get seen these days.
You know, I wake up sometimes, you know, I've done radio since I was 19 years old. I've been in the media since I was 19. And not a day goes by where I don't wake up in the morning and pinch myself and say, I'm really doing this. And it never went to my head, and it never will, you know, hope to God. And you have to be that way. So in your success, Josh, and I truly believe you'll get there, just always be who you are today.
That's very important to me as well. You know, I grew up with some very good parents, and my dad would never have it any other way, man.
That's good. So. It's got to be exciting for you.
It's very exciting.
And Russ, watching this development again, because you've been here before.
Yes, I have.
What's it like for you?
It's just, I never get tired of it. I have a saying, George, when your vocation is your vacation, you never go to work. So it's not work to me.
Good for you.
It's a pleasure.
You don't stop.
No, you can't stop. My dad stopped, and he was gone very quickly. I'm never going to stop. I'm going to die like an old-time gunslinger.
Good for you.
I'm going to die in the middle of the street shooting away.
You know, on more of a somber note, you know sure. Clive Davis.
Yeah,
and
I'm a big fan of Clive Davis.
And, you know, a couple months ago, there was a tragedy.
I know.
Before his party,
yes.
Where I think one of the greatest singers ever passed away, Whitney Houston.
Without a doubt.
I had seen her a couple years ago at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills, and she didn't look good to me. And some friends of mine apparently ran into her two or three days before she died,
mm-hmm.
and said she just looked horrible. What is it about these superstars who get to a point where success is just so easy for them, and they destroy themselves?
It's all about self-worth, George. A lot of them don't have self-worth. The most important thing in life is self-worth. You got to love yourself. The greatest love of all was written about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Muhammad Ali, he loved himself. And she didn't love herself, evidently, enough to say, well, I can kick that, you know.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you have to love yourself enough to give up anything, whatever it is. Might be food, might be whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
You got to be strong enough to give it up and love yourself enough to give it up.
So true.
So that's a sad situation. I was a big fan of hers. I thought she was the greatest. Well, one of the greatest singers ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think the national anthem's ever been sung better and ever will be sung better.
Many songs, you know, that she sang would bring a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw her in The Bodyguard and the way she bellowed out those songs.
Amazing.
I mean, just what a great voice. And, Josh, you know, I know you go the straight and narrow, and I hope to God you always do.
Me too, man. I'm going to do my very best. I don't think I've never had any problems and like that, and I don't plan to. So I'm going to really try to do what's right for me. That's what's important, you know.
We're going to take some phone calls here. People are beginning to call. And, of course, one caller, this guy was one of the world's greatest program directors and also heads up his own website. He's part of the Radio Hall of Fame, and he's one of the best. John Rook is on and wants to say hi to both of you. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, George, how are you, pal?
Good
and Russ Regan. There he is. I mean, the man is a legend. Anytime Russ calls and says, hey, I got something hot, you listen to it. And I'm telling you, Josh Tatum is pretty damn hot.
Well, thank you, George. Thank you, John. I mean, you got great ears, John. You picked a lot of my hits back in the day.
Well, I remember you coming to me with,
Holly Holy.
Little tiny guy that pounded the piano. What was his name, Elton?
Elton John. You were there, buddy. You were there.
It's amazing the kind of ear, John, that Russ has, isn't it?
Oh, Russ is the greatest. Can I tell a real quick story?
You sure can.
I go to visit Russ. This is several years ago. I'm programming WLS Chicago. I go out to the West Coast to visit Russ. I go into his office. He says, you got to hear something, John. He plays me an acetate of Neil Diamond singing Holly Holy. He turns around to take a long-distance call from Europe. I pick the acetate up, put it in my briefcase, catch a plane, go back to Chicago, and we have a world exclusive for 3 days until Russ calls and says, John, please, I don't need it yet.
It's all timing with Russ, isn't it?
You forced me out.
Russ?
Yeah, you forced me out real fast, John.
You remember that?
I remember
it
very well, buddy. That was funny. That was great.
Hey, John Rook, give us your website.
HitParadeHallOfFame.com. HitParadeHallOfFame.com. Go there, vote for your favorite recording artist. It's where all recording artists of all genres of music, country, urban, pop, and rock, all are inducted. And it's the only place where you'll find the inductees being like Paul Anka, Pat Boone, Connie Francis, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. I mean, it goes on and on and on, the artists that had no place to go. So Pat Boone told me gave me the idea some time ago, and I said, let's do it. So the Hit Parade Hall of Fame, you Coast to Coast listeners, go there, vote.
So, John, we've admired your work for years. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, John.
John, great to talk to you, buddy. We'll see you soon.
And there's another guy who had an ear for talent.
Without a doubt. You know. One of the best ears in the business, without a doubt.
Before we take more calls, we've got another song I want to play from Josh's CD. Let's play this, and Josh, tell us the name of this one that's coming up here.
This one's called Baby Come Home.
All right, let's go.
Where do we all go?
Okay, good job there, Josh. Hey, do you sing at like clubs and places like that?
We do. Yeah, we just played one over at the Viper Room on Sunset just recently.
Oh, sure.
Went very well, and we did. Well, I've played the Whiskey a Go-Go a few years ago.
The Roxy. Doors used to play there, didn't they?
I loved the Whiskey. I had a blast at the Whiskey. We did most, you know, a lot of them down there.
We've got a lot of dear friends in the music business. Ray Manzarek, Robbie Krieger, two of the original Three Doors. We know them well. They listen to the show. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Wow.
John Fogerty. Just super guys and superstars.
Very cool.
Who have made tremendous marks.
Great people. I love Ray Manzarek. Yeah, I used to know him back in the day. Yeah, a great guy.
I asked him, I said, is Morrison still alive, Ray? And he went, no.
No.
He's not. So now what is the plan for Josh? How do you market him? How do you push him? His records are out. They're getting out there now, right?
Yes.
You can find some of them.
Out there now. We're using the internet. We're doing the viral marketing campaign.
That's smart now.
Yeah. The internet's very valuable. We're doing a big campaign on him on the internet.
Okay.
Then we go to radio, hot AC radio.
And then he ends up on Billboard?
And we're going to tour.
Okay.
He's already made two tours already, and we're planning another one.
Josh, give us your website for people who want to track you and just see what you're doing.
Just joshtatum.com.
Spell it.
joshtatum.com.
Simple enough.
That's it.
Go ahead.
And also we've got hideawayentertainment.com. There's some good updates there, and okay. They all kind of go hand in hand.
All right, let's take a few more calls here. This hour goes by fast, I told you, huh? Let's go to Mike in Midland, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Born and raised Midlander, and just wanted to congratulate Josh. I don't know him, but I'd love to meet him sometime. I just wanted to congratulate you, Josh, on getting that first CD, recorded and produced, and commend you on your values and what you're doing to make the journey that you want to do. Just one little quick thing. I just wondered if you'd ever thought of or considered playing the Austin City Limits.
I would love to play Austin City Limits. Thank you for calling in, by the way, man. I'd love to meet you sometime. My folks are down in Midland. And I'd love to play Austin City Limits. I've played all over Austin, and I love that city
very much.
That's
a great market for us, too. I'd love our affiliate there, KLBJ, good people down there.
I did a little time at UT. UT.
Did you hear the story about the bats that hide under the bridge out there?
It's very true, man.
It's scary.
They're out there.
Have you heard this, Russ?
Yes, I have. I've heard it. I definitely heard
zillions of them, and they go flying off into the sky.
That's
you
true.
Can't see the sky.
That's
there's
right.
So many of them. Now, another friend of yours, Mr. Regan, is on the
yes.
line. He also happens to be a regular contributor here to coasttocoastam.com, none other than Christian Wild, author, researcher, and singer himself. Hi, Christian.
Hey, George, with two of my favorite people on Coast to Coast tonight, I just had to call in.
Good to have you here. You going to sing Old Danny Boy again?
Oh,
no, no.
Boy.
Tonight's,
yeah, we're getting
tonight's,
ready.
Tonight's Tatum's night, not
yeah,
yours.
You got it. It's his night, and you're in good hands. Josh, you're in real good hands. You're in the hands of the man with the golden ear.
That's right. He certainly is.
George, I got to tell you, if everyone in the record business had just a little of the personal integrity and character of a Russ Regan, it would have been a much, much better business.
I agree with that, Christian.
He loved all kinds of music. I mean, he worked with Stevie, with Marvin, with the Supremes. And then, of course, he told you the story about the Pendletons, because the other night... The other night, I was watching a segment where there was a trivia show, and they said, who did the Pendletons become? And because I know Russ named them.
That was on O'Reilly's program.
That's exactly right. And your friend John Rook, I think you worked with John George way back in radio, didn't you?
Well, our paths crossed, but we never worked together physically.
Yeah. Hi, John. Well, Russ?
Well, Chris, thank you for those kind words. There's nobody that sings Danny Boy better than Christian Wild.
I was at an event one day, Russ, a few months ago. It was a health conference, and Christian was on the panel. And as you know, he's an expert in
Definitely.
All kinds of things with heart, stem cells, and everything else.
Absolutely.
I had him come up a cappella and sing Oh Danny Boy, and he brought the crowd to their feet.
Nobody better.
He was one of the best. All right, Christian, thanks for calling
in. Thanks for calling, Christian.
Proud to have you as a friend, Russ.
goes both ways, buddy. Thank you.
Funny story. I was talking to a Christian many months ago, and I was kind of bragging on the fact that I met you, Russ. And I said, I met this guy who discovered Neil Diamond and Elton John and all that. And Christian says, oh, that's Russ Regan. I go to lunch with him all the time.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in this circle, Jess. Now, have you moved to Los Angeles or do you still live in Texas?
I live in Los Angeles.
What do you think of L.A.?
I love it. You know, I've had very, very many different types of experiences in L.A. over the years. You know, right out of high school, I moved here, actually. Right when I graduated, I moved to L.A.
You're a guy from the heartland, so don't get eaten up by this L.A. stuff.
That's what they say, man. And every time I go home, I appreciate it more and more. You know, I love where I'm from, but I've really grown to appreciate Los Angeles and really enjoyed it here.
That's a great town. There are tremendous, talented people out here.
That's for sure.
You know, I ran into, this is a treat for me. I ran into yesterday Mel Gibson.
Oh, my God.
I had an event to go to at the City of Hope in Duarte, California. Uh-huh. And we're going to have some people on over the next week or so who are doing incredible cancer research, by the way, and just superb people. But at night, I ran into Mel Gibson. And, you know, through all his troubles that he's had recently, what a delightful guy.
Wow.
He was nice and friendly and courteous. And it was kind of neat to be able to run into that. And Josh, that's going to happen with you one day. People are going to say, "Oh my gosh, I ran into Josh Tatum." You know,
it's going to happen, George. It's going to happen for sure.
Always be this, and this is what I find. You know, people will ask you, "Can I have an autograph? Can I have a picture?" I never turn them down. I'm always polite to everybody. I remember one day I was at an event and a little boy came up to Barry Bonds with Barry Bonds' baseball card in his little hand. And he said, Mr. Bonds, please sign my baseball card. And he looked at him and said, kid, I'm busy. Wow. I will never forget that. And isn't karma something? Because look what's happened now to Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And, you know, just my recommendation to you after being in this business for 40 plus years is just always remember who put you where you are and never forget that.
I appreciate it. I believe in that.
Let's take another call. We've got Michael and Marina Del Rey in California. We'll get you in real fast.
Right now,
go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Russ Regan, are you on? Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Hey, I'm so excited to meet you on the phone. I got to meet you a long time ago with my boss as a cat named David Bluefield.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he was my boss. I was working for him in the studio, and you came out and had a meeting with us. And I just about fell out of my chair, man.
Well,
there you are.
It's good to meet you again on the radio.
That's right. They're everywhere. They really are. Hey, we're going to wrap things up by playing another cut of yours, Josh. It'll take us right up to the top of the hour. But again, Josh, tremendous success and best wishes to you and Russ. You always.
George, before we sign off, can I say hello to my wife, Cheryl?
You may.
Hi, Cheryl, and my son, Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
How can I say no
I gotta
to you?
Do that.
All right, here we go with Josh Tatum.
Goodbyes. In only one night, she changed my day. She let me inside, and she changed my way. And my eyes are open, looking for a better day. Well, don't it seem like goodbye will be such a waste? If it's the only way that she'll be free, I hope that she will just remember me. She's the only good thing about this place. But don't it seem like goodbye will be such a waste? Pictures up in my mind of you closing the blinds and coming to bed with that look in your eyes saying you were just mine, all mine. It wasn't easy when you left today, and I'm okay. I miss you. Just remember me. She's the only good thing
about these days.